Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie. This is The Reason Podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review us at iTunes. Check us out on SoundCloud.com at Reason Podcasts. And, of course, go to Reason.com for all of our podcasts, all of our videos, and all of our news, politics, and culture coverage. Today, we are talking the day after, less than 24 hours after Donald Trump has been named president, with Lisa Graham Keegan. She's the former state superintendent of education in Arizona. And she is also the head of the Keegan Company. Lisa, thanks for talking to us.
So happy to talk to you, Nick.
How are you feeling in the wake of the Trump victory?
You know, Nick, I am feeling oddly to myself pretty elated. And it's not because this was my candidate. He wasn't. But I enjoy watching the public rise up and basically tell us we don't know jack about what they really want anytime that happens, even when it wasn't what I wanted. And it's a powerful thing, isn't it? I mean, it's a peaceful transition to something nobody thought would happen. I still just think it's remarkable. So
you're fond of saying this is why we have elections. And it's true that, it was such a foregone conclusion. It is always kind of interesting. And I say this as somebody who was anti-Trump and anti-Hillary. I knew I was going to be disappointed. And I realized that's a lot easier. It's a better position to be in than somebody who was pro-Hillary today.
I was in your camp, which was approximately 2/10 an event, right? I mean, so we lost. But it's weird to feel so elated, right, about losing.
Well, let's talk about your core competency. What are the prospects under a President Trump for the Federal Department of Education doing good work? I don't know if good work would mean actually like ending itself or what, but where are we at now under the Obama Department of Education? Has that been good? And Trump's talked a bit on the campaign trail about things like school choice. He seems to be in favor of charter schools. Is this a good thing from an education point of view?
It is a good thing from an education point of view. And in fact, that was, I voted against myself, actually, because he has been good on these issues in a very vague 35,000, maybe 100,000 foot level, right? I like school choice. I like state control. So that's sort of where it started and stopped, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I do know, he has people like Gerard Robinson and Bill Evers, who are good minds and practice people. And he's got some smart folks around. So good. I mean, it is good. I think, what has to happen at the Department of Education is they've got to quit trying to be the Congress. The Congress did actually a very nice bipartisan job of rolling back a lot of the No Child Left Behind overreach, trimming that, giving it back to the states. And then the Department of Education was sort of in the process of overreaching when the election hit yesterday.
So wait, tell me a little bit about that. So Congress rolls back a bunch of the mandates that are involved in No Child Left Behind, which of course was cooked up by Ted Kennedy and George Bush, and other bipartisan malefactors. But you say a lot of that was peeled back. And then, but the Department of Education was not with that program. They were still kind of forcing it?
Well, they were through regulation. They were coming up with a set of rules as to how to implement this rollback, which is ironic, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let us help you with a huge set of rules, decide how to liberate yourself. So the intention that the Congress put forward was basically, look, states are in charge here. Yes, you have to say how your schools are doing. That is a good idea. People have a right to know whether these are functional. But you all do that and let us know how you plan on doing it. And you need these markers. Like, you have to tell us how different groups of kids are doing, et cetera. So all of that would have been great. And then the regulatory, what looked like a lot of overreach coming was, well, okay, in concept, you can do that, but we want you to keep statistics in the following way, which basically would force a whole lot of different practices. And I know that sounds sort of vague, but basically it was trying to stick a lot of the regulation that got taken out back in. And there were a bunch of stories as recently as this week about Lamar Alexander and others who really worked on this, saying, no, that wasn't our intention. And I think you would have seen a real war had Trump not been elected.
What was Hillary proposing on the trail? And this, I know from years ago in It Takes a Village, she actually, which came out in the late 90s, just as charter schools were starting up, she had kind words about charter schools and about school choice in It Takes a Village. And but on this campaign, during this campaign, she came out pretty forcefully against charter schools and against school choice, didn't she?
She did. So her village was the teachers union this year, was the village that it took. Right. I mean, she went to ground. And it's too bad because, yeah, she and former President Clinton had been early advocates for educators to be able to bring their skills to the market, which is what a charter school is. And so that's a shame. And it was frightening, actually. And I think we would have seen huge rollbacks in progress in marketplace education that really is taking hold in a lot of places like my beautiful Arizona. So, and it is making a positive academic difference. That's the good news.
Yeah, talk about...
So that was scary.
So, yeah, there was a recent New York Times story that talked about, you know, not all charter schools are great, but these ones are, and they tend to demand a lot from the students. Is that, you know, are we, I mean, is the Trump victory in a kind of interesting way? It seemed as if progressives who dislike school choice, they dislike public charter schools, they dislike any kind of messing with the status quo other than giving more money to existing kind of conventional schools, it seems. They were starting to get the upper hand on a lot of kind of propaganda. John Oliver on this Last Week Tonight did an extended attack on charter schools as kind of being riddled with scandals and lousy results, some of which is true. Do you feel like between Trump winning and, you know, the New York Times coming out and saying, you know what, these charter schools are actually helping the most at-risk children predictably and in positive ways, is this does it seem like it's dawn-breaking for the school choice movement?
You know, I hope a couple of different dawns break here, Nick, because a couple of things happened. So, yes, the president-elect is elected. So Trump gets elected. That is a pro-school choice move. The other things that happened, though, were in Massachusetts, a potential cap on charter schools did not pass. In fact, was hugely slammed by suburban parents. And in Georgia, they had sought to create an achievement district where they could sort of liberate a set of schools that were doing poorly and try to get them to be better. For me, what I hope we learn as a Republican Party is that there is a reason that your education policy should turn on marketplaces and what people want. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody lauded the Massachusetts charter school system because it was such high quality, sort of the Harvard of the American charter school system. But like Harvard, very few people could get in there. There were like, you know, 12 schools. In Arizona, we have over 600 and we grow at 10% a year. And it took us 20 years, but the charter sector in Arizona is consistently outperforming the traditional system. Why? Because they can close themselves down. They can let people go if they're not performing. They can all the things you need to do to stay at high quality. Well, that is a result of relying on and believing that at the end of the day, the demand of parents will prevail. It will get you a better system. And I just feel like we kind of got co-opted by central planning. You know, once we figured out how some people were doing these things right, how some authorizers are getting it right, we tried to impose that on everybody. That's an incorrect response.
Right.
And so
I mean, it's
like
really, it's
got to,
you've, I mean, just like, you know, you always hear this about tech industries and other businesses that have to adapt or die. The charter school model or the school choice model has to constantly be reinventing itself in relationship to the demands of parents and having confidence that that process will turn out a better product and better experiences for kids.
Yeah, that's right. Educators actually do know what they are doing. And the other thing is you cannot limit access to new schools, to new public schools, to low-income families. You absolutely have to incentivize that. But the reason we're successful in Arizona is because wealthy families also have their kids in public charter schools, families who pull political levers. If you sit down with the chattering classes in Phoenix or any part of Arizona and you ask how many of you have your child or grandchild in a charter school, about half that room is going to raise its hand. So it's so widely dispersed among
opinion leaders, mm-hmm. that it's politically stable. When you isolate these things, you know, Milton Friedman, programs that are determined to be strictly for the poor will inevitably be poor programs when the rest of the public decides you don't get the money.
Right.
You can't make these things charity. They have to be systemic. So, you know, I'm excited about that, Nick. I don't know this man. I don't know if Trump, you know, understands markets well enough to understand. I mean, understands the markets.
But a lot of people are saying, you know, a lot of his money comes from cutting deals with local governments and getting subsidies, et cetera. I mean, it's worrying. And certainly he doesn't have to choose between, you know, rent payment and school tuition or anything like that. What is the role of the Secretary of Education? A couple of names have been floated. One is Bill Evers, Williamson Evers, who you mentioned before, who's been in the libertarian movement and the school choice movement and even the free education movement, for decades. Another is Ben Carson. And that's kind of a head scratcher, because Ben Carson.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, you know that. I mean, he's a retired neurosurgeon. So exactly what he would be able to do. But what is the principal role of the Secretary of Education, as you say? What you know? How can they do good, and how can they do bad?
I think the number one thing that person can do well, and I do think. Bill Evers. The other person you didn't mention is Gerard Robinson, who's mm-hmm. actually part of their transition team as well. So he has been a state school superintendent. Great guy. So it is the role to give voice to the president's ideology here. I always think that's the most important piece. You are the mouthpiece if you're in that role of the president of the United States, and in this case, his view about what should be happening in education across the country. I believe at this juncture, if people did not get the message that things should not be coming out of Washington, they were asleep between 9 at night and 3 this morning. I mean, I think that this administration has a grand opportunity to roll this back. I'm not somebody who believes you just do away with the Department of Education. Mm-hmm. All of that regulation is still in the law. It's going to get managed somewhere. So, but just manage it to the benefit of freedom, right? Manage it to the benefit of the people who are actually doing this work in states, and encourage state offices to do the same. I believe that would be powerful in this administration. I believe there are plenty of people who could help him do that. And there's certainly mm-hmm. plenty of us who would help, right? This would be a breath of fresh air. And it's not as though we don't have models going on right now all over the country. Really great examples of things that are actually working quite well and actually seeing gains for kids. So there's a lot of actually operating an office that has to happen there. Mm-hmm. I would hope they'd cut the size of that thing down. I think there's a lot of stuff that should not be happening there, and you know, to put on a little hiring freeze and do the country some good.
Right, right.
Send people back into the hinterlands would be better.
But the idea is that if we believe in local schools or that the people closest to a situation are best kind of informed and empowered to fix things or address things, then that's the Department of Education should be turning more control over to state and local services, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, there is regulatory entity upon regulatory entity in education. I mean, you're mm-hmm. certainly not lacking. We're not going to miss anybody if a layer falls out. So lots of people voted to be responsible for these things at the state level, at the district level, at the charter board authorized level. I mean, we've got folks. So I think we don't need that extraordinary level there in the federal office, except for those things where we've agreed on a national basis, we really ought to be pushing. One of those is special education. I believe that's really important. One of them is very poor kids. I believe that's a great national cause, but the implementation of those programs ought to be left to the states.
All right. Well, we will leave it there. This is, you're in sunny Arizona, always sunny Arizona.
Beautiful.
And you brought some mm-hmm. sunshine to a lot of people, I think, who are pretty down in the mouth right now at the prospect of a President Trump. But it sounds like in terms of education policy, there may be a reason to be a little bit excited. So I want to thank you, Lisa.
I hope so, Nick. I hope so. Thank you.
We have been talking with Lisa Graham Keegan. She's with the Keegan Company, and she's the former superintendent of schools in the state of Arizona. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Nick.
For Reason, I am Nick Gillespie. This has been the Reason Podcast. Check us out on iTunes. Rate and review us there. And also check us out on SoundCloud and at Reason.com, where you can see not just or listen not just to the podcast, but see all of our videos and read all of our coverage about politics, culture, and ideas from a libertarian perspective.